The Outlet. The talk of Queenstown.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour. In this podcast, I talk to Tournament Director of the New Zealand Open, Michael Gladding. We talk about Michael's earliest experiences with the Open and the incredible support of Millbrook Resort. From scouting international talent to highlighting this year's standout players, Michael offers insights into managing such a prestigious tournament.
For the latest local news, sport, information and entertainment, download the Queenstown app. This is The Outlet.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to The Outlet podcast.
Hey, Brett. Good to be here.
What are your earliest memories of the New Zealand Open?
Well, I'm pretty old, so my memories are from actually caddying in it. I caddied in it back when I was a long-haired youth. Believe it or not, I was one of those ones, and caddied for Bob Charles when he won at Manawatu in the early 70s. I guess my memories of it are a bit longer, in as much as my dad played in it and won it, after the war. But fortunately, I wasn't alive after the war. Well, I was alive after the war, but not straight after the war. But I guess it was in the family for generations, and in a funny old way, remains in that way.
I was just thinking about this when that question came up, because we used to live right next to the Titirangi Golf Course, where they had the Air New Zealand Shell Open. So as a kid, I was the same. We're over there helping out where we could, caddying, getting golf balls, watching it. So we've just got an amazing heritage of golf in New Zealand, haven't we?
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, when I was young, there were five or six professional tournaments. And of course, the world of professional golf was very different in those days, where the big events in other parts of the world shut down for two or three. You know, they literally had an off-season. And our summers used to fill in those off seasons, so we used to get a lot of very, very good players come down and play in tournaments. So you're right, there's been a long history of great tournament golf in New Zealand.
Now, this is the second year the New Zealand Open has been held solely at Millbrook Resort. So how much do you value their support, Michael?
It's been amazing, really. I mean, our initial support came from Michael Hill. The Hills were incredibly supportive of us and the Hill family, and supported us fiscally and every other way for a few years, and then the Ishii family took that over, and since then have been also incredible supporters, both fiscally and in every other way. And in many respects, the marriage is probably even better, in as much as there's accommodation here as well as a thriving golf facility. So, and you know, let's not forget, we do tend to forget so quickly, that you know the COVID years were terrible years. Albert Millbrook, we were able to keep most of the team together and survive that period. We even ran a domestic, we did call it the Not New Zealand Open, but we ran an event during COVID where we could only have 50 guests, I think it was. It seems like eons ago, but it actually wasn't. So all that to say is that the support we've had from Millbrook through that period has been amazing.
Now, I understand you spend quite a few weeks each year going overseas to tournaments to tap shoulders of new talent. So how easy or hard is that, Michael?
In a sense, it's easy. I guess the first part, the travel part, is harder. You know, as anyone that does travel these days or will know, that traveling is not quite the joy it used to be. To answer your question in terms of getting people to come here, you know, the strength of the tournament is Queenstown. I mean, Queenstown is such a great calling card, and it's not my suave salesmanship that brings players here. It's the beauty of Queenstown and the locale and just the atmosphere. And, you know, I'm an Aucklander, and even I just, you know, I love it every single time I come to Queenstown. There's something special about the place, not only the air, the people, the views, and the quality of the golf, of course. So it's you know, it really is a package which is not genuinely not a hard sell.
So you do have a great lineup this year, and it's a big lineup too. So for you, who are the ones to watch?
Well, you know, you're right. It's a very diverse field, and I think that history has shown that our tournament has been its strength is its diversity. You know, there are some tournaments around the world where you look at the starting field and you think, well, there's three or four players there who are likely to win it. I think in our event, you can look at this, you know, minimum 20, 30 players that are likely to win it. I do think that our strength this year is very homegrown. I think that having Steve Elka come back, play on a course that's going to demand accuracy, doesn't demand enormous length, is going to play nicely into Steve's hands. Steve actually started off playing really well here last year, but then got a really bad flu, which we sort of kept fairly quiet. But Steve was pretty unwell in the last week of the last part of that tournament. But all that to say is that I think with Steve Elka, with Dan Hillier, with obviously Kazuma Kibori, with his ongoing wins in Australia, I think the domestic field is extremely strong. And then internationally, we've got players out of Asia, a couple of that we've profiled, Jazz Janawatanand and Tai Chi Ko. Out of Japan also, we've got a really strong field. The professional golf scene in Japan has changed quite dramatically. A lot of really good young players coming through. Got a young boy, Seguera, who's only 22 years old, just turned professional. Won a major event in Japan last year, beating the likes of Matsuyama and Brooks Koepka down the street. So there's some really, really good. The challenge we face, I guess, is a lot of locals don't know these names. These are names which, unless you do what I do for a living, where you actually, you know, read every tournament every week and see who's who in the zoo, you don't necessarily know. And what often happens is after the tournament, some of these players really break through on the world stage. We had that with a couple of years ago, Tom Kim, who's, you know, reached number 11 in the world, and I think he's still sitting at about 19 or 18. And players like him and others, Sung Jae-im, who's a Korean, who's been top 20, 30 in America for the last few years. So we do, I guess it's in a sense for locals, it's tough to know who to watch. And look, at the end of the day, you never know in this game of golf who's going to really break through into the next big thing. I mean, out of Australia, we've got a couple of young players as well who I really like the look of. David Micheluzzi, who's one in particular, I think is on his way to really big things. So, yeah, again, very strong and very diverse field from all parts, really.
Yeah, it's really good. So is the goal to have the Open stay in Queenstown, Michael?
Yeah, very much. That's what we'd absolutely like to do. Millbrook support is very much ongoing. We have an agreement in place already, which will take us through for the next few years anyway. Our challenge every year is keep raising money, and that's part of what we do. But so far, touch wood, we've been successful at that. As long as we can make the thing pay, we do know we have the ongoing support of Millbrook. Golf New Zealand seem very happy with what we're delivering. We do deliver the event effectively on their behalf. It's very much a goal to keep it here. This is, as I said to you earlier, it's an enormous strength. Just the calling card that Queenstown represents is huge, and long may that last.
Now, I've worked on smallish events, but it's quite a logistical challenge to put on an event of this size and calibre. So tell me a bit about the people that help you put this together.
Well, we've got, I guess a circular question in the sense, I keep talking about Millbrook support, because with Millbrook support, we decided at the end of last year that we really did need to invest more in people. And we have got some fantastic people. I think Ben Larson, who's our head of operations, who came on board fairly late last year. And we saw in the short time he worked with us what a difference he would make. Mel Gimlet, who's worked with me really since day one. This is our 11th event that we've been involved with together. And Mel is just an expert in so many fields, right across from everything from hospitality through to the operations side of it. So between Mel and Ben, we've got a very, very strong team. And it flows from there. And I think that, you know, right from Lauren, who does that design work, to Mike Hannett, who does our marketing. I mean, these people, I think, you know, if they left tomorrow, I don't know what I'd do, because they're very, very good at what they do. I think the overall package will show that.
So what do the ambassadors and the celebrities that come to the event, what do they add to it, Michael?
I guess they add a different dimension there, Brent. They're, obviously, the core thing is about who holds the trophy at the end of Sunday evening. But, you know, I think adding people like Ash Barty and Ricky Ponting and Steve Fleming and Jeff Wilson and Izzy Dagg and all those people, they add a bit more entertainment. I mean, at the end of the day, we are putting on an entertaining event. So we are putting on a National Open Championship, which attracts world ranking points and all those things. But we've always said this is far more than just a golf tournament. And I think that the ambassadors that we have add to that. And they interact with both the fellow competitors and hopefully with crowd and television and all the things that, you know, that make up what we produce.
So what are people going to see that's new and different this year?
I suppose for some, the differences will appear subtle rather than major, but I think our signage continues to get better. The new, well, we call it new, but it's been open nearly 3 years. The nine holes at Millbrook, I think, are absolutely glorious. If we get some fine weather, which hopefully we will, the television pictures, I think, are going to look great. And then around about the 18th hole, we've really focused on, and we love, you know, we all watch tournaments from around the world, and we see the sort of amphitheatres that are being developed in some parts of the world. And I think we're a long way toward developing something like that here at the 18th hole. So I think you're going to have a great spectacle, hopefully both on television and when you're here in person.
Now, I know you've got to get through this tournament, but what are you looking at for the next 10 years for the event?
10 years? You know, I don't know. I won't last that long, Brent. Do me a favour. give me 10 minutes.
You'll be fine.
I mean, it's a good question. We try and improve it year on year, but obviously this is our 11th time that we've run this event, and obviously you can't just keep growing for the sake of growth. I mean, I think there will come a point where our growth factor will probably flatten out a little, but I think you can always do things better. I don't think you ever get to the end of any exercise in any job you do and say, well, that was perfection. Until we achieve perfection, we'll keep, I think, doing the small things better. Last year we made a list, and the list was surprisingly long of how many things we felt that we could have improved upon. We have revisited that list and hopefully addressed as many of those as we can. So, you know, our growth is, when we first started this tournament, the prize money was $450,000. This year it's a $2 million purse. That's a substantial growth in that period of time. It will continue to grow, but not grow at that same rate. We don't aspire to produce a $5 million event. I think that's unsustainable in New Zealand. What we've tried to do is produce an event that is sustainable fiscally, and whilst we have that backing of Millbrook, we're not going to go crazy and run the place broke. So, you know, we've kind of, it's about managing growth, keeping it fiscally sound. And, we will certainly, I would say the prize money will continue to grow, but only grow at smaller increments. Our goal is still to move to three courses. And we'd like to do that. I think that as a pro-am event, the three courses gives the amateur an even better experience. Arguably not quite as good for the pros. They've got to go and practice on three courses instead of two. So that makes it a little tougher for them. But that's certainly in our growth plan. And we think when we do that, that allows us to have a few more competitors, allows us to just, again, turn the knobs up a little bit. So to do that, we've got to generate a bit more revenue. And, well, you know, that's something obviously we're looking at. But, you know, if we can do it, that's the immediate growth plan.
Yeah, keeping it sustainable, that's the key, right? So it's always around.
Well, I think that's right. If you look at that Tiger Woods Open, you know, that when Tiger came to play, I know it was lauded as a great success, but of course the event, you know, then virtually almost came to a halt after that because there were, you know, seven-figure losses and no one could sustain that. So you're right, Brent.
So every year we hope that a Kiwi golfer wins the Cup. Who would be your best pick for this year now that Ryan Fox isn't in the mix?
My own personal one is probably, I think it's one of two. I'll hedge my bets because I'd all have three Kiwis. I think Steve Elker's got a really good chance here because of the rough is very long and keeping it straight is going to be crucial this week. Ben Campbell knows this course like the back of his hand. Twice he's run second, and he's probably due to win it, and I think he's a really big chance. And Dan Hillier has just now become a world-class player. So I think if you take those three Kiwis, if I was going rushing down to the TAB, which I'm not allowed to do, I'd be putting a few dollars on those three.
Of course. Don't get caught at the TAB, Michael. Now, if people want to find out some more information online, where's the best place to go?
Just to our website, nzopen.com. Mikey does our marketing, does a great job of keeping it right up to speed. He's just putting in a spectator's guide right now, both for those viewers on television and those viewers that come here. So, yeah, we think the website's pretty good. There is an app you can download as well, NZ Open app.
Well, all the very best for the tournament, and I look forward to chatting to you again, Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Rhett. Happy to do that.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, The Outlet.
The talk of Queenstown.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview podcast for Queenstown. Now, if you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, please get in touch by using the contact button on your Queenstown app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Queenstown app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available on the podcast button on your Queenstown app and wherever you get your podcasts.